Our study at this time continues in the 33rd chapter of Ezekiel. We're ready to begin at the 30th verse. In the previous few verses of this chapter, God has been giving a rebuke and a condemnation to those who remained in Israel, who had been spared by His mercy, but who had not repented, who were not serving Him and doing what He wanted. Now the attention turns to those who are in captivity, those who are there with Ezekiel, but because of their hard heart and their impenitent nature, still find themselves in a most displeasing condition in the sight of God. Their sin and their displeasure is of a somewhat different nature, though, than that of those mentioned in the previous few verses. They actually made an outward show of religion and devotion, but their hearts were not right with God. And what they're accused of here is actually mocking the messengers of God. One of their greatest sins was pretending to be interested in things of God, pretending to have an outward show of devotion, but yet inwardly they were not converted and not truly a follower of the things of God. So he begins by saying in verse 30, "Also, thou son of man, the children of thy people still are talking against thee by the walls and in the doors of the houses, and speak one to another, every one to his brother, saying, Come, I pray you, and hear what is the word that cometh forth from the Lord." So these people were speaking against Ezekiel behind his back. "They are talking against thee by the walls and in the doors of the houses." So not to Ezekiel's face. To his face, they seemed to be very devoted, very obedient, faithful followers. But to his back, they talked against him. When they got in the doors of their houses, or when they stood by the walls, so that Ezekiel had no way of hearing what they would have to say, then they spoke against him. And this is one of the insidious natures of man that we have to guard against. We have to guard against always being willing and able to say the little disparaging word, to have the little put-down remark that we might make to somebody behind their back, somebody who is actually doing the will of God, who is actually doing the very best that they can do under the circumstances, and yet we're ever so willing to give them the put-down. That's what they were doing to Ezekiel. They were talking against him. They were saying things about him that were not complimentary at all, and that would be designed to undermine what he was teaching. But yet on the other hand, they were still saying, everyone to his brother, "Come, I pray you, and hear what is the word that cometh forth from the Lord." They went to hear Ezekiel. They went to the meeting place. They went to the place where the discourse was being given. They acted like they were just as interested as anybody else, but really they were not with it. Verse 31, "And they come unto thee as the people cometh." So, of all the ones who had come to hear Ezekiel, the people of God, these hypocrites, these people who were making fun, they came just like the people came. They looked like anybody else. They came as the people cometh. "And they sit before thee as my people, and they hear thy words." They sit there just like the rest of the people. You can't tell by looking at the audience. You can't tell that they're not just as devoted, just as religious, just as God-fearing as anybody else. They sit before me as my people, and they hear my words. Now, today, we have to know that the very same situation can exist in the church. There can be those in the church who are really not faithful. They are really not interested in doing the things that God wants them to do, but they come, they listen, they sit just like anybody else. They look like faithful members of the church, but in reality they are not faithful at all. They sit before thee as my people, they hear thy words, but they will not do them. Now that is the proof of true Christianity. That's the proof of a true follower of God in any age, the one who will do the words, the one who will put the words into action, who will obey, who will bring forth some kind of a change, some kind of an obedience as a result of what the word of the Lord says. But these people are not like that. They hear thy words, but they will not do them. For with their mouth they show much love, but their heart goeth after their covetousness. So outwardly, with their mouth, they show much love. They say that they're going to do it. They say that they accept it, they receive it, they believe it. But in their heart, in their mind, they're going after their covetousness. They're more interested in getting worldly gain than they are in following God. They're more interested in the everyday affairs of this life, in the entanglements of the business of this world, than they are in the following after the things of God. They're like those that Jesus talks about in Matthew 15, verse 8, where he says, "This people draweth nigh unto me with their mouth, and honoreth me with their lips, but their heart is far from me. But in vain they do worship me, teaching for doctrines the commandments of men." So all the good things that they did were in vain. They did worship him, all right, but it was in vain because the doctrine they were teaching was the commandments of men. And they were drawing nigh with their lips. They were drawing nigh with their presence. They honored him with their lips, but their heart, the mind, the part that really counts, their heart was far from him. And actually, Jesus was there giving a quotation in Matthew 15:8, which is taken from Isaiah 29, verse 13. But the sin of this people was actually that of covetousness. They were more interested in getting gain than they were in doing the things of God. Covetousness includes the idea of an inordinate desire for gain. It also includes the idea of idolatry, for we're told in the New Testament that covetousness is idolatry. That is, it is so closely linked to, so closely connected with, the things that people who serve other gods are doing, that the idolatry seeps into the life of the covetous person. And on this subject of covetousness, our Savior said in Matthew 6, beginning with the 19th verse, "Lay not up for yourselves treasures upon earth, where moth and rust doth corrupt, and where thieves break through and steal, but lay up for yourselves treasures in heaven, where neither moth nor rust doth corrupt, and where thieves do not break through nor steal. For where your treasure is, there will your heart be also." So it's a matter of where our treasure is. That's a matter of as to where our heart is. And if we really have all of our treasure here upon earth, if that's our main concern, if we're guilty of covetousness, then that's where our heart's going to be. That's where our mind's going to be. And we can go and sit through every kind of a Bible lesson that we want to. We can go and worship with the Christians as much as possible. But still, our heart's going to be somewhere else. Our heart's going to be far from that situation. And that's what the case was here. "For with their mouth they show much love, but their heart goeth after their covetousness." So we have to be most careful that we not allow this thing of covetousness to enter in, so that it becomes then a major thrust in our lives and it overshadows our true duty and obligation to God. But these persons who are hypocritical, who are just carrying on a great pretense of doing the right thing, sometimes they can be most deceptive. It can be very difficult to ferret them out and to know that they truly are not genuine. In verse 32, he says, "And lo, thou art unto them as a very lovely song of one that hath a pleasant voice and can play well on an instrument, for they hear thy words, but they do them not." So Ezekiel was just like somebody giving a performance to them. Like if they would go and see a group perform a play or perform some kind of a concert. "Thou art unto them as a very lovely song of one that hath a pleasant voice," like someone who is singing a song to them and just giving them an entertainment. And you're like one that can play well on an instrument. They're going to see how well you perform. So we see there are those who use the word of the Lord and who use the worship of God as a sort of an entertainment. It's something that kind of pacifies and soothes them. They've got some other kind of motive in mind for being there, and They just entertain themselves with it, but it doesn't really have that much effect on them. They don't really consider it to be something that's for them. For they hear thy words, but they do them not. They hear, but they do not. How many times have we seen this? How many times have we seen people go and hear? They hear the truth. They hear the truth given over and over and over again, but they do not. It does not move them. It does not spur them into any kind of action. It does not bring about any consideration on their part as to how it should affect them. They hear, but they do them not. But he says in verse 33, but when this cometh to pass, lo, it will come, then shall they know that a prophet hath been among them. Now there's going to come a time whenever the word of God is going to come to pass. All of the promises and all of the threats that he gives for obedience and for disobedience, they're all going to be brought to pass. And then at that time, they shall know that a prophet hath been among them. Then it's going to be too late to make a change. All they're going to be able to do then is to look back and say there was a prophet among us after all. There was something here that was worthy of our consideration and our effort. But then it's going to be too late because it's going to already have been brought to pass at that time. The fulfillment of the prophecy, of the promise of good or the promise of bad, whichever we want ourselves to be in the position of receiving, that promise is going to already have been brought to pass. He says, lo, it will come. It's going to come to pass. Then shall they know that a prophet's been among them. And so we are going to know one way or another whether or not a prophet's been among us. And it's better to know now while the prophet is here, while we have a chance to hear and obey and be receptive to his voice. It's better to know now than it is to wait till later, till after it has come to pass, and then we can look back and say, yes, he was a prophet after all, but then it's too late for us. And it seems that God is telling Ezekiel, do not be dismayed, do not be disheartened or discouraged by those hypocrites that are among the people, for they're going to eventually know. They're going to eventually be brought to task for their laxity, for their failure to have their heart in the matter. And we should very strongly guard against our being found in this type of a position today. Just going to worship, just going through the acts, just going through the motions, but it really not having any effect on us, our heart somewhere else. If that be the case with us, then there's coming a time in which we're going to be able to say, there was a prophet. There was something to this after all. It was the truth. It has been brought to pass. But then it'll be too late for us to take advantage of it. So we conclude the 33rd chapter of Ezekiel. As we move into the 34th chapter of Ezekiel, we see that much has already been said about the sin and calamity of Israel, about how the people were wicked. They brought their destruction upon themselves. But in this chapter, he's going to point out the fact that the shepherds of Israel are very much responsible. They're very much accessory to the sin and ruin of Israel by the neglecting to do the duty of their place.